Hello and thank you for joining me for this visit at the Jacquemart-André collection in Paris in a 19th century mansion built for the couple, who also built one of the renowned and exceptional European art collections for their time. The mansion is on one of the main streets in Paris, and the cobblestones under the echoing porch, like the rest of the estate, are still intact. The collection was established by Édouard André and his wife Nelly Jacquemart, herself a painter, in the 19th century. She showed particular interest in Italian painting, the 14th and 15th century primitives, up to the Renaissance. Inside, the small temporary exhibition rooms are cosy, and only so many people can fit in at one time. So the experience at the Rembrandt Intime, or Rembrandt in Confidence exhibition, is quite different from exhibitions of the 17th century painters' works in larger national galleries. Around 40 of Rembrandt's paintings, as well as drawings, engravings and sketches, follow one after the other in three sections which correspond to the three main stages in Rembrandt's career. There I met one of the curators of the Rembrandt Intime, or Rembrandt in Confidence exhibition. Emmanuel Starkey is the director of the Compiègne and Blérancourt estates in the north of France. He's also one of France's leading specialists on Rembrandt, whose exceptional place in the history of art, not only for his mastery and use of light and shade, is undeniable. Starkey explained why and how he'd arranged this exhibition of the Flemish painter's life and work around the three Rembrandts in the Jacquemart-André collection, starting with the Pilgrims of Emmaus of 1629 from Rembrandt's Leyden period.
So the Jacquemart-André have bought three paintings, and that is astonishing why there are three original paintings. And the purpose is to give the possibility to the public to understand better those three paintings. For example, for the painting The Pèlerin d'Emmaüs of the year 1628 or 29, Emmanuel Pilgrim, sorry, I speak in French, but the light is Caravagesque, of course, but a special treatment of the light that is a certain invention of Rembrandt. But the painting of the Leyden period before show in the exhibition. For example, the history painting of the Museum of Leyden is a Manierist painting. Or the painting of Berlin is a first Caravaggio's painting, but the use of the light by Rembrandt is totally different as in the Pilgrims of Emmaus. So you understand that Rembrandt, at this time, he was very young in Leiden. He was trained by artists who have worked in Rome, but he never makes a trip to Rome. He never knows the Caravaggio's painting directly or in Italy, and he invents a new lighting of this scene of the Pilgrims of Emmaus. And the expression of the pilgrim is also very important. You see, Rembrandt tried to express two different reactions for the revelation of the resurrection. And in the other version of the Pèlerin d'Emmaüs from the Louvre, also in the exhibition, but 20 year letters, you see the same purpose of Rembrandt to show the expression of the two pilgrims. But the composition of the painting, the lighting, is totally different. So you can understand the evolution of the artist.
Known for his avant-garde approach to portraits, including his own, where his self-portraits may be clad in fine gear, but the overall look is unkempt, definitely unportrait-like for the times. Emmanuel Starkey says the second period around the portrait of Princess Amalia van Solms of 1632, the grandmother of England's King William of Orange, describe this portrait section.
This portrait show a female profile, and it was not exactly the profile or the portrait of a princess. You can thought it is an important woman. I am sure that the Jacquemart bought it as an unknown woman. And in the exhibition, you have the possibility to make the comparison with other portraits of the same time, from the bourgeoisie, or the portrait of the wife of Rembrandt, or an imaginary portrait from the Metropolitan, of a man and who represent a Turkish man or something, an Oriental portrait, but totally imaginary.
After the drawings comes the third Rembrandt painting in the Jacquemart-André collection, a portrait of Dr. Arnold Tolincks, a late work completed in 1656. His eyes are incredibly lively and penetrating, even though they're more than 450 years old. Starkey says this is considered as an experimental period for Rembrandt.
At the last period of Rembrandt, you know that Rembrandt have a lot of difficulties. He have make a beautiful marriage with Saskia, but Saskia have a lot of children, but only one survived, Titus, and after that she die, and Rembrandt have mistress and problems and sort of bankrupt, and he lost a lot of money. It was necessary to sell this beautiful house, and after that the collection, and he was not really interested to sell his own works. He was more interested to make experimentation in drawing, in prints, but also in paintings. And the last painting of the Jacquemart-André collection is Tolincks, that is a portrait of a doctor. And this doctor is made exactly at the same year that the last anatomy lesson of the Dr. Demann. And that is the same circle, medical circle. So Rembrandt, at the end of his life, was have difficulties to sell paintings, while he made very original experimentation. So the portrait of Dr. Tolincks is not specially attractive, but how he make to illustrate the skin is astonishing. At the end of his life, you can say that he make experimentations that no other artist in Netherlands have made.
Three Rembrandt paintings in the Jacquemart-André hang among works on loan from, for example, the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, the National Gallery in London, or the Metropolitan Museum of New York, which create a world and give a different pictorial sense of the painter as a private individual, as well as a master artist.
And we have also two beautiful loans in front of this painting of Tolincks. That is a painting of a young girl, and it is a loan of the National Gallery of Stockholm, a masterpiece. It is a new experimentation for Rembrandt, for very free painting. You can have the feeling that is a Fragonard, but of course, Fragonard is later. And it is also very interesting why you have the illusion that this young girl is very realist. She is at the window and she's looking to you, or she's making a dream you don't know exactly. And also, that is a new inspiration. Rembrandt have a new mistress, and she was very young. His name was Hendrik Stoffels. And he have a new opportunity to see the life with more optimism. And he wanted also to invent new paintings. He used paintings to make a sort of, use the word sculpture, it is painting with painting with painting, to make sort of relief, but also to make transparencies of different colors. And this freedom and this idea of invented new way of painting, imagine master, very old, searching new way, not only of life, but of making art.
The temporary exhibitions at the Jacquemart-André have a certain pull for visitors who may be regulars or just passing through. However, they should leave time to see the family's magnificent collection they assembled in their home, especially, but not only, the Italians. This spring, the Jacquemart-André is hosting a selection from another collection, that of Spanish businesswoman Alicia Koplowitz. It spans five centuries of works by key artists from 16th century Spain up to the 20th century and is called, aptly, From Zurbarán to Rothko. Well, that's all we have time for this week in Arts in France. My thanks to Emmanuel Starkey for sharing his knowledge about Rembrandt's life and works. And thank you for listening. Until next time, from me, Roslyn Hyams, goodbye.